Well, good morning. Welcome again this morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Jim. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is my privilege to lead us in the study of God's Word together this morning. As a church, we've been working through the book of 2 Corinthians. I'd like to take just a short break this week and next week and look at two psalms. I think the psalms are so important for our Christian lives, for the way that we live. So I'd like to look this morning, as you can see, at Psalm 57, and then next week, my plan is to preach from Psalm 121. Psalm 121. So let me read this morning Psalm 57, and then I'll lead us in prayer, and we'll look at this together. Psalm 57. To the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let me pray for us. Our God, we do bow before you. And we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can gather as your people. We can gather to sit under your word. And we can gather with the expectation that you will come and meet with us, that you will come and speak to us. We need your word. We need you to come and work in our hearts. We know that unless you come, unless your spirit works, all that we do right now will just be a waste of time. So God, please come and bless your word and encourage us, build us up, show us Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen. Well, when you feel the pressures of life, what do you tend to do? I don't think it's just me, but do you ever have this great urge to just go back to bed and put the blankets over your head and just escape, right? Let the covers just drown out all of life's problems? Well, as we come to this psalm, it's given a title at the beginning that helps us understand this need for refuge, this need for protection. We see it in the title here as David, the author, introduces this psalm. He says, to the choir master, so we know that as the other psalms, this is a song, according to Do Not Destroy, which seems to be a tune that was used back in David's day, and then a miktam, again, we don't know what that is, but some kind of musical term, but here's what I'm getting to. The context of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. So here is our setting. David is fleeing for his life. He's hiding in caves. He needs refuge. He's searching for protection and shelter and rest from the troubles in his life. So David is a major character in the Bible. And during a period of his life, possibly 7 to 10 years, we're not sure, but possibly that long, he was on the run from people who wanted to kill him. He was hiding in caves from people who were pursuing him. David was an accomplished soldier. He was a loyal subject to King Saul. But certain things happened, and King Saul started to get jealous. And one day things turned, and Saul tried to kill David. And David, from that point on, was on the run. He really was living like a Hunger Game-esque type of existence. People trying to pursue him. We have some of this period in his life recorded in the book of 1 Samuel. And we're told many times David was overcome with much fear. He had many close calls. We're told that at times at least 3,000 soldiers were in pursuit of David to catch him and kill him. So this was his experience. These were the pressures he was under as he writes this psalm. And we see his vivid language here in the psalm. Verse 1, the storms of destruction are passing by. Maybe he's being poetic. Maybe he's in the cave and he hears the troops marching by the opening of the cave. These are the storms of destruction that want to come and get him. Or verse 3, my enemy wants to trample on me. Or verse 4, this imagery, my soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts. Their teeth are like spears and arrows. Their tongues like sharp swords. And then verse 6, they set a net for my steps. They've dug a pit for me. David is like an animal being pursued. His enemies are trying to trap him and kill him. So David is looking for refuge. He's looking for protection. He's looking for a shelter. He's looking for a way out. And the beauty of the psalm is that here David is telling us of his discovery of refuge. He's found this refuge. And he hasn't found this refuge in a cave in the wilderness of Israel. That's not what he's saying. He finds refuge in his God. And that's the whole point of this psalm. He finds this much-needed refuge. We see his need for refuge. He finds it in his God, this God that he describes in verse 3 that always sends out his steadfast love and faithfulness. This is where he finds refuge. So David writes this song for us, for people throughout the ages, so that we can learn from his experience. David, in a sense, goes before us as a guide, as someone who needed refuge, as someone who pursued refuge, as someone who found refuge. And he's telling us about it. He's inviting us in to this pursuit of refuge. So we don't know exactly when he wrote it, if he wrote it while he was in the cave, or if he wrote it years later looking back on this experience. But I think we can say we know he wrote it for people like us, for people who understand the pressures of this world, the brokenness of this world, the various stresses and pressures of the world. This psalm is a gift to us from a man long ago. He wrote this so that we could understand the refuge that he found. So here's the main point, I believe, of this psalm, and hopefully the main point of this sermon. That's the goal. In any and every situation, whatever we may face, whatever pressures we may face, different for all of us, right? In any and every situation, there is real refuge in the God of David. There's real substantial refuge for us, for you, for me, in the God of David. And here's, I believe, the logic of the psalm and the order of the sermon. I don't know why those are all ones. They're not supposed to be, but all very important, I guess, is the point. One. The need for refuge. 2, the pursuit of refuge. 3, the discovery of refuge. And 4, the emphasis. We'll see, it's a beautiful emphasis of the psalm, the effect of refuge. The effect of refuge. So first, the need for refuge. None of us are living David's life. It's happened a long time ago, very different context. I don't think any of us have armies of people in pursuit of us trying to kill us. But we all, I think, understand David's in-the-cave experience. We understand the need for rest from our troubles, for protection from all the things that come to us in life. And so here, as we see David's need for refuge because of his situation that we've already talked about, I think it's important as we start to kind of slow down and identify the pressures that we each experience. Identify them, see them clearly, kind of hold on to them right now. Because as we identify and hold on to them and bring them into this psalm, bring them into these truths, we'll see the relief and refuge that David points us to all the more clearly. So we feel the need for refuge when? When do we feel the need for refuge? When the pressures and expectations of school or work or parenting or any other responsibility, when these pressures and expectations weigh down on us and we feel like we just can't keep up with it all, we feel overwhelmed. We feel the need for refuge, for rest, for protection. Or we feel the need for refuge when we just look at our lives and feel like we just don't measure up. These other people, they're doing well, she's doing well, he's doing well, but we look at our own lives and we just don't measure up. We're falling short. We're not as good as everyone around us. We feel the need for a break. We feel that desire to go back to bed and put the covers over our head. This is our need for refuge. Or we feel the need for refuge when we are haunted by past decisions or mistakes or actions or even present habits. Or we feel the need for refuge when we're at a point in life where we're uncertain about the future, the agony of the unknown. We have no idea what's before us, and we feel this need just for rest and protection from the situation we're in life. Or we can think of the categories of sin in our own hearts and sin around us, suffering or relationships. And we each can think about how these things affect us, and we understand we need refuge. No, we're not running from 3,000 troops that are out to pursue us and kill us, but we have the same desperate need for refuge. So that's one, the need for refuge. Number two, the pursuit of refuge. That's what David is doing here. He's pursuing refuge and relief from the pressures, the specific pressures that he is under. Powerful, powerful pressures on this man. But this is a common pursuit in each person's life. This is what we all do. We search for refuge and rest, relief from what we face in life. But the question is, we'll see how David pursues refuge. How do we tend to pursue refuge and rest and relief? Sometimes we pursue good things. I'm all about pursuing some comfort food from time to time, right? Or drink, or music, or relationships, or maybe entertainment. These things, many of these things, are gifts from God, and we pursue those things for just a little relief, a little respite from life. And then sometimes we are tempted and we pursue other things, excessive drinking, maybe other substances, maybe pornography. All of these are common ways that we see people tending to pursue relief and refuge in life. Now these negative things, we step back, and I think it's pretty obvious that as we see life after life overwhelmed by addiction and sorrow, we see that these negative pursuits, they never satisfy. They always leave us emptier than when we started. So we see that. But also these good things that we pursue sometimes, these gifts from God, if we make them our ultimate focus and the ultimate point of the pursuit of our refuge, they too will leave us emptier than when we started. If we pursue food, not just for a little, as a gift from God that kind of adds joy to life, but as our place of refuge, if we give it that much food or anything else, it's going to dominate our lives and leave us emptier than when we started. You can think of gift after gift from God, the things I mentioned. If we pursue these as the place of refuge and rest from the situation of life, they will dominate our lives and lead us to a place of greater emptiness. So the question I want us to pursue as we consider is, where do I tend to go to find refuge? Do I go immediately to Netflix, 10 hours of binge watching? Do I immediately go to my video games? I think these are good things. But if I use these, not 10 hours but of Netflix, but these are good gifts, right? But if this is where we go to find ultimate refuge, it's going to leave us empty. And David is a guide for us here. He says to us, don't go there. Don't go there. I will lead you to the place of true refuge. So we saw our need, the pursuit of refuge. Now we'll get to the psalm, the discovery. The discovery, David's discovery. This is an amazing discovery. He's pointing us to something so amazing. This is what he's found. You know his situation. This is the real refuge he found. Where did he turn? Verse 1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. Where is he going? To God. For to you my soul finds refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. So you know David's situation. Where does he go? He cries out to God, and then he gives us this picture. He points to really this picture of a big bird. Not Sesame Street Big Bird. Don't think Big Yellow Bird, right? Maybe think Lord of the Rings, the big eagles, right? He's pointing us to this powerful bird that is able to protect by putting his wings over the person. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. And this is a theme we see in the Bible. David is saying, I run to you, God, because I know that near you, close to you, I will find real refuge, protection. But then it gets more specific as he continues. So he says, in God, but then he gets more specific to how he finds this refuge. And in verses 2 and 3, we see the reality of God's activity in our lives. God will provide this. Verse 2, the Most High God. He says, the Most High God is actively fulfilling his purposes for me. David sees his life, he has this pressure, but he knows God, the Most High God, who is over all, is actively working, and he is doing what is best for David. And then verse 3, he knows that God is someone who is at work. He's active. He's sending out salvation. He's sending out his steadfast love and faithfulness. So David, he's in the cave. He has this expectation that God, his God, is one who is always sending out love and faithfulness. So this first emphasis, God fulfilling his purpose in David, this first emphasis helps David in this time of great pressure, because he knows that even though he looks around and it just doesn't look right, why did Saul turn on him? Why are all these troops out to get me, he could say. This is not good. Why am I hiding in the dark recesses of the cave? Why am I on the run? I did nothing wrong. Why do I have all these pressures? He can rest and he can look to God and he can say, I know my God is in control. He's the Most High God. He's in control of everything that's happening in my life. The Most High God will fulfill his purpose for me. I know that all things work together for good for those who love God. I know that he is in control. And David can find refuge in that because he can rest in that. He can trust in his God to do that. So David found it there. We don't have the same pressures, but we can think of the different ways that the brokenness of our lives and our own hearts affects us, and we feel this desire to find just rest from our brokenness, and we can know that in God, through Christ, this is who our God is. He is the Most High God who's in control, and he is working in your and my situation. He will fulfill his purpose. His purpose that he has for your life, he will do it. This is who God is. And then the second emphasis, verse 3, he always does, sends out his steadfast love and faithfulness. So again, David's in this situation and he's looking at his life. It just doesn't seem right. Why is he facing this? He looks to his God and he says, God, I know that you will You will. He has this expectation. Send out your steadfast love. You will be faithful, God. I know this is who you are. The steadfast love is God's covenantal love, the love he promised in the beginning, and the love he's given again and again. So David's in this situation, and he can rest in this covenant love, this promised love of God. And this gives him refuge. This gives him rest in the midst of his pressures. He saw the context of God. His eyes, in a sense, were opened. Yes, this is happening around me. But this is who you are, God, and this is where he finds true refuge. And we have the advantage. We're thousands of years later, and we can look back on David's life. And we can say, yeah, he was right. He was right to have this expectation. He was right to have this anticipation that God would work. God did work. God did deliver him. It didn't look good for him, right? Thousands of soldiers out to pursue and kill him. Saul had all the power. Saul should have easily found him and killed him. But David was right in this situation to expect God to work, for God to bring salvation, for God to send his love, for God to be faithful to his promises. We have this vantage point of history to look back and say, yes, he was right. Well, may God give us that vantage point as we look at our own lives and tend to be overwhelmed with the pressures of our lives, to say, yes, we know this is our God, and we know the end of the story. We know what he does. We know what he will do. And here, I think it's beautiful. As followers of Christ, who have come thousands of years later, we see how God not only answered David and sent his steadfast love to David, but we see how God, this God who sends steadfast love, works for us, has worked, and continues to work for us. This truth of God, that he sends out his steadfast love and faithfulness, points to something greater than just David's small life. David's confident hope was answered in even greater ways than just his life. God has sent out his steadfast love and faithfulness. How? By sending his Son into the world. His Son who is full of grace and truth, John 1. Jesus Christ is the sent steadfast love and faithfulness of God. He is the expression of God's love. He is, we could say, the bringer of God's love. He is the one who spreads God's love. He is the deliverer of the love of God. David could say, you are God. You send out, you will send your steadfast love and faithfulness. And from David's vantage point, God did this ultimately in Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:9-10, in this, the love of God was made manifest. We see it among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, we looked at it a few weeks ago, but that is Jesus stepped in and took the punishment we deserved. We find refuge in Jesus because he took our punishment. The wrath of God was on him, was placed upon him. So now we find refuge in his work through Jesus and his death on the cross. We can know the love of God. We can experience the faithfulness of God. Here's the ultimate expression of David's hope. We don't talk about this just because we're in church. This has practical ramifications for us in the midst of our life pressures. Because in Jesus and what Jesus has done, we find real refuge. Where do the pressures of life come from? They come from our sin. They come from our weakness. And Jesus specifically responds. Jesus specifically answers. Jesus brings us to a place where we can have a confident hope and expectation like David. Through Jesus, we can know. Through Jesus, we can know that God is always working out his purposes for us. We can know that God always keeps his word. As his people, we have his promises. All his promises are yes and amen in Christ. He did this, and we can know that God always keeps his promises. And whatever life pressures come to us, God will lead us through. God will lead us out of. We can be a people with that expectation, with that confidence. God will lead us through whatever pressure we face, and he will lead us to a place of everlasting joy. We know that the future is good, and we can, like David, as he's in the cave, look forward with expectation that we know this is who our God is. And we should know it more than David, because we see how God sent his son for us. If he did this, how much more will he not bring us to glory, bring us to the end? This is what is before us as God's people. Isaiah 35. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is our future. This helps us now as we live our lives with the pressures of relationships, with the pressures of our own failures and sin, the pressures that we face. God will take us there. We know this is before us. And through Jesus, we look to our future knowing that this God who sent his steadfast love and faithfulness will always send his steadfast love and faithfulness to his people. Through Jesus, we know this is true. So this is David's discovery. He found this refuge in his God. And he's calling us through this song. He's inviting us to sing this with him, to live in this refuge, not being overwhelmed by the pressures of life. So what does this look like? What does this look like to live in this refuge? How do we find this? What does it look like today? Well, we need to make sure that as we live our lives, we're looking in the right place for refuge. I mentioned this before, but really, the point of this psalm is David is saying, here is where I found it. I found it in my God. I found it here. So we, as we receive this song from David, need to make sure we're looking in the right place. I think sometimes as Christians, as we're living our lives and we feel frustrated in the faith, We're looking in other places for refuge. And those things are not satisfying. And then we blame God for not making us feel his presence or the rest from our pressures. When here we're told to look to him, to look to Jesus. He is our great shepherd who will protect us. So what does this look like? We need to be a people who are pursuing rest from our troubles and pressures in him and him alone. Yes, he gives us good gifts and we can enjoy his good gifts, but we can't look to those things to provide this ultimate response to the pressures of life. So what does this look like? We must be looking to Jesus. We must be resting in God and not just his good gifts. We must be pursuing him and our relationship with him. So it's pretty basic, I think, right? We give time to what we value. So maybe we need to change some habits in our lives. If I feel overwhelmed and my immediate response is I need to watch 15 episodes of The Queen's Gambit, that might be a good show. But I go there and I watch all the episodes and then I feel a sense of emptiness. This doesn't fix anything. Or if my response is I'm going to go and drink this much, no, it's not going. So we need to maybe change habits. Sometimes we're frustrated, even as Christians, because we're looking in the wrong place. And then we blame God for this lack of peace in our hearts. Here, David is saying, I've gone before you. I've found refuge here. Come with me. Come with me. Find this too. Don't spend 3 hours playing video games or 10 hours watching Netflix. Come here and find real refuge from the pressures of your life in God. Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in you I go to you to find refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. David's encouragement to us and my encouragement to us is to step into our relationship with God, pursue him, seek him, and find true rest for your souls. There's real rest there. It's only found there. This is David's discovery. David found it. And as he talks about it, it's so clear that this is something very sweet to him. Very sweet to him. He writes this song, kind of an explosion of praise, because he found this refuge in his God. It's so interesting as we look at the psalm. This brings us to the last point, the effect of refuge, the last number one point, as you see. This refuge is so amazing that it transforms everything for David. It leads to this God-focused wonder and worship that dominates his life. You look at the structure of the psalm. It's all here. I know it's small. David started by pursuing refuge. He writes this song, this poem. And you see the emphasis, right? There's two sections, and this is the central theme. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Why, if he started in the cave and he's pursuing refuge, why does he end here? Because he found the refuge, and when you find real rest in refuge, not just from a few hours of pursuing, when you find real rest, it leads to this transformation of glory and praise. He has tasted something so good, he wants to share it. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. He's led from himself. He's led from his circumstances. We don't know if they've changed yet or not. It doesn't matter. But his circumstances and his reflection of God in his circumstances moves him to praise. Instead of looking at the storms of destruction that are passing by, he looks to God and explodes in praise. And we see this in verses 7 through 10. Look at this shift. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast, exclamation point. I will sing. It's this explosion of song. I will sing and make melody. Awake my glory, or awake my whole being. This is how good this refuge is. Awake my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. You can picture him running around shouting and praising. This is what I've found. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to the nations. Paul in Romans takes up this verse to show what Jesus does, that his love, his refuge, we could say, goes to the nations. David is saying, I'm going to explode in praise, and it's going to cover the earth. Verse 10. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens. That word great there could be wide to the heavens. Your steadfast love covers the earth. It came to me in the cave, David could say, but it covers the earth. It's for your people. Your faithfulness to the clouds. You see, his affections are just set free when he experiences this true rest in God that's only found in God. He's singing, and I think dancing, because of the true rest he's found in the midst of the pressures he was under. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. So the point of this psalm for us, the point is that this is a gift from David to us, but maybe more so a gift from God to us to help us as we live our lives. The pressures are real. And I know many of you, and I could look from person to person. I said, I know the pressures for you are real. The pressures for me are real. This is a broken world. It's difficult to live in it. And the pursuit of refuge is nothing new for us. We see it in our own hearts. We see it around us. But the place of real refuge has not changed. It has always been in one place. It's found in our God. So find it in God. Pursue it in God. And the result of finding this refuge is so good. When you find it, you really will explode in praise, singing and dancing. And we will be a people who explode in singing and dancing. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. This is some good stuff. I will explode in praise. Oh, may we really, each of us, experience more and more this refuge that's only found in our God, this refuge in Jesus Christ. In His grace, God calls us back to this again. He comes each week and He calls us to find true rest for our souls in Jesus Christ. Well, may we be a people who live in this from day to day, knowing our God, the God who sends out His steadfast love and faithfulness. May we live in this refuge, and may it lead us to lives of praise that really are a light to the nations. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the songs of Scripture. We thank You for David and the way that You used him to point us to true rest for our souls. And Father, this morning as we consider these things, I'm sure each of us can think of ways that we pursue rest and relief and refuge from our trials and struggles and pressures in other ways, where we emphasize these other pursuits, and we can even, if we're honest, testify to the emptiness of these pursuits. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that through Your word You would work in each of our hearts and help us to know that You have made us for Yourself. And our hearts really will be restless until they find their rest in You. May each of us in our different situations, may each of us be people who pursue and turn to You for the refuge we need in the midst of the pressures of life. God, please use Your word. Use Your word to change us. Use Your word to make us people who are shining brightly for the glory of Jesus to those around us here in our community and to the people in our very